Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here helping us celebrate our 7th year on the air, actually kicking off our 8th year on the air. And just about the time that I get really excited about that and get really proud of our accomplishments and, you know, maybe get a little bit, feeling a little too self-important, then I think about an organization like the Kiplinger Editors, who are now in their 82nd year, as many of you know, who've been listening to the show. We've been with folks at the Kiplinger Editors for almost all the time that we've been on the air, and Joan Pride has been with us every week talking to us about some of the things the Kiplinger Editors have to say about what's going on in the world. And I'm very excited about having our friend Knight Kiplinger, the editor of the Kiplinger Letters, with us right now. Knight is at the head of that fine organization, and let's get him in here. Knight Kiplinger, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back on the show, and congratulations on having a third generation small business of your own, and now in its 82nd year. What a great accomplishment.
Well, it's really hard to maintain a business even into the second generation of a family, let alone the third. There are a lot of things conspiring against it. You've got estate taxes in some cases, and you have the differing interests of the next generation. Maybe they don't want to go into the same family business, but we've had a lot of good luck and have done a few things right, so here we are after 80-some years.
Well, I know a little bit about your organization, and I know a little bit about some of the people you have in your organization. And from what I've seen, Knight, a large part of the key to your success is you guys have found some really good people.
Yes, indeed. And it's not just finding them. The key to small business success is retaining your good people by treating them as well as you treat yourself. Your employee benefits have to be very even and egalitarian. In our company, we have no special perks and bennies for senior executives that we don't offer to our rank and file. We treat the people on the loading dock and the clerks the same way we treat the senior executives, and this pays off in employee loyalty. We have profit sharing from top to bottom. We have stock ownership from top to bottom, not just stock for senior guys, but for everybody in the company, and we think that's been a big key to our success.
Well, I think you're right, and I congratulate you on that, and I thank you for that little lesson on how to grow a small business into the third generation. Knight, talk to us a little bit about your views of what's going to be coming around the corner for small business owners. We're heading into the second term of George Bush. The Republicans have shored up their majority in the House and the Senate. And I'm looking at your book, War Boom Ahead, which you wrote a few years ago, and I'm pretty sure is still available. Do you still feel as optimistic as that title indicated?
I'm generally optimistic about the U.S. economy because we continue to be the world leader in a variety of research fields and technologies that will matter in the future. We're the world leader in the biological sciences and material science, and even in electronics. We're often on the cutting edge there. You know, all these flat-screen TVs might be assembled overseas, but a lot of the key components and the key patents on flat-screen technology reside here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that. Sure, the final product is mostly assembled abroad, but there are a lot of key American products inside those things. Over the next 4 years, there are a number of economic challenges that we have to deal with. You know, both candidates in the last race said that they would cut the budget deficit in half over the next 4 years. Well, that was a pipe dream. It was a pipe dream whether promised by Bush or by Kerry. We're not going to see that dramatic decline in the federal budget deficit. I think it will gradually drift down over the next couple of years as the growth in tax receipts outstrips the growth in federal spending, but we're not going to cut it in half.
And that growth in tax receipts you're anticipating is from productivity.
Yes, indeed.
Not from raising rates.
No, not from higher rates. As a matter of fact, lower rates over time generate more tax revenue than high tax rates do. And I think that we'll have pretty good job creation, net job growth over the next 4 years. We're estimating that net job growth, the surplus of new jobs over layoffs, will run 150,000 to 200,000 a month over the next year or so. So next year we should tack net about 2 million on total employment in the United States.
That's pretty solid. That's pretty solid growth.
Yes, it is, and
it's pretty healthy. The pace of that job growth and probably tracking at around what do you think around 3% or so per year. Isn't that pretty healthy kind of growth?
Yes, it is. It's not the superheated growth that we saw in the late 1990s, but that
which we now know was artificial. Basically,
that's right. It really was. Now. What about making the tax cuts permanent, the last round of tax cuts? I think Bush might actually hold off a little bit on that. We're certainly not going to see taxes go up. John Kerry would have raised the top rates, which would have hit a lot of business owners who are subchapter S filers. But that's not going to happen. I think that the odds of tort reform reining in some of the frivolous liability lawsuits will probably improve with the slightly greater GOP majority in Congress that we're seeing. Minimum wage bears watching by small business owners.
Yep.
In the last election, Florida and Nevada both raised their minimum wage to a dollar above the $5.15 federal level.
Right.
That means there are now 12 states in America that have a higher minimum wage than Washington, Washington, D.C., and I think that will put a bit more pressure on Congress to increase the national minimum wage.
Well, that's an area that my audience knows that's one of my soapboxes. I think that performance and accomplishment should and skill that you acquire and responsibility that you assume and time in the job being productive should determine how much you make, not the government.
Well, I tend to agree. A higher minimum wage tends to push up all wages a bit artificially.
Right. Knight, hold on to that thought. We're
going
to come right back, folks, after these messages and talk some more with our good friend Knight Kiplinger, the editor of the Kiplinger Editors and the guy in charge of the entire Kiplinger organization. Right after these messages, I'm going to ask Knight what he thinks small business owners should be thinking about in the 21st century in order to make sure that we're successful in the years ahead. 20 after, stay with us.
We skip the life and dangle.
Only you. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 7 years on the air with you and serving small business owners all over the country on the radio and all over the world on the internet. And somebody who's been a great friend of ours and a longtime supporter of all the things that we do is our guest this half hour, Knight Kiplinger, the editor-in-chief of the Kiplinger Editors. And Knight, on behalf of my audience and on behalf of my organization, for the steadfast support that you and your people, especially Joan Pride, who's been steadfast with us every week for almost 6 years now, on behalf of all of us, we thank you for that.
We are very welcome, Jim. We know that among your listeners, we have a lot of readers of the Kiplinger Letter, which is kind of a management Bible for small and medium-sized businesses. So we're delighted to have this connection to the people who listen to you.
Well, I appreciate it. Knight, by the way, folks, Knight's website is kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.com, and you can also subscribe by a phone number. Knight, I don't know if you've got that number handy or not, but you can subscribe to their publications, their letters, the Kiplinger letter, which is the weekly letter, the three biweekly letters, the agriculture, the tax, and the California letter, and then of course you've got a great magazine too, Knight, the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
Yes, indeed. You know, you were asking before the break about the keys to small business success in the years ahead, and let me give you a few thoughts on that.
All right.
The most successful small businesses find a niche to fill that was left vacant by the big boys. In a small town, it might be a retailer who finds a line of products, high-quality products, that's not being carried by the big box stores in his town. We see customer service deteriorating at a lot of big companies, and one big advantage that a well-run small business has is killing the customers with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Serve those customers better than the big guys can with more personal service, things that they don't offer, and treat your employees really well so they don't want to go and work for a big company. They'd rather work for a small company with a personal feel where they're more than just a number and a face, but a real human being. And these are the common traits I find of all successful small businesses: a distinctive service or product that you can't get everywhere, great customer service, employee loyalty, and it all pays off in success.
Well, absolutely, and those are great lessons that we all need to be paying attention to. But the other side of that is we have to get our head into the 21st century. Now, small business owners have to, because we've got to quit thinking county, region, state, U.S. We've got to start thinking more globally, don't we? Even the smaller small business.
You know, it's really true. The Internet has enabled a great many small businesses to take their business global. I talk to small business owners who manufacture a small product, and they are now using the Internet to find markets in Europe and Latin America and Asia. They never thought it possible. They couldn't have created an international sales force and marketing network until the Internet and search engines like Google and Yahoo made possible somebody finding their product from afar. Globalization is not just for the big guys today. There's a way for even small businesses to do it.
Well, you know, a lot of small business owners out there are mad at globalization. They were mad at NAFTA, and they're mad at globalization, and they don't like all this stuff. But what I try to explain to them is nobody did globalization to you. Globalization happened because it's the trade manifestation of our intellect. And we're not going to stop it. It's not a bad thing. It's a natural thing, just like the flow of water.
That is true, Jim. Well put.
Well, and any thoughts on how we can have a better attitude about these things?
Well, I think you as you put it, political boundaries are somewhat artificial, and globalization has gone on since the beginning of time. Enterprising mariners and traders in the Mediterranean extended their reach far beyond their shores. They went around the Horn of Africa. They went up to Europe. Eventually, traders crossed the Atlantic. And this is the quest for larger markets that's been going on forever. It's not just a recent phenomenon. And the idea is view anybody in the world as a prospective customer, somebody
right.
might need your product.
Well, the thing that's taking what people think are jobs overseas, that same technology, those same channels can take our products overseas.
It's important to remember that no country sells more goods and services abroad than the United States. Yes, we import a great many products, and in recent years, the products we import have exceeded our exports, but our exports continue to grow at a healthy clip. This year, exports are going to be up about 10% over last year. So the United States is not a crippled giant in the world economy. We're a very dynamic provider of goods and services to the rest of the world, high-tech products of all sorts,
mm-hmm.
entertainment products, all sorts of things like that. So, you know, we're doing well in the global economy.
Especially in the services area, especially in the intellectual property area. Knight Kiplinger, thank you for being here today. Good job for helping us get our anniversary week kicked off. And again, thank you for all the things that you've done for us over the years.
And good luck to you, and congratulations on your 7th anniversary.
Thanks. Knight Kiplinger, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. Quick break. I'll be right back with Russell Brown. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.